there is this intelligence that God created within nature where it can do what it needs to do all on its own, and we just need to get out of the way. Well, there's that same intelligence within. That's called our innate intelligence.
Welcome back to the Freely Rooted Podcast. I am your host, Corey, and today my co-host Fallon and I sat down with Dr. Courtney Kayla, who you might either know as one of your favorite holistic Instagram follows, or maybe you've actually been to one of her local events at our well house. We absolutely love and adore her, and we knew we wanted to have her on the podcast, so we actually decided to shake things up a little bit and have an episode that's very different from our normal content. Our goal is for this to be more inspiring and conversational and just all around encouraging for all of you guys out there who are living an unconventional life according to the world's standards. And if you are brand new to our podcast and this is the first episode you're hearing, first off, welcome. We are a podcast focused on metabolic health, simplifying wellness, and returning to God's original design for our bodies and how they were meant to thrive. We do this by learning about our physiology first and connecting it into all areas of our lifestyle. So if that is interesting to you, or you hear us mention the phrase metabolic health in the episode, definitely go start our podcast from the beginning. We have designed it to be listened to in chronological order so you can learn and be inspired in a way that is tangible, simple, and effective. So all that being said, enjoy today's episode where we have a conversation about living an unconventional life, how to sift through information in the age of the internet, how to understand conflicts of interest in the medical research, how to return to your innate wisdom and gut instinct and how to trust that, and really just overall how to take charge of your health. So I hope you guys enjoy it. I'm so glad you're here. Dr. Courtney, we are so happy to have you here today. Many of our listeners probably know who you are already, but if they don't, can you give us a little introduction to who you are, what you do in your local community, and on your online platform?
I'm so excited to talk to y'all today because I feel like y'all are just my friends. Like, we're just hanging out for a little while. But yes, so I'm a doctor of chiropractic. I specialize in pediatric and prenatal, but really whole family wellness. I own our well house, which is a multidisciplinary Christ-centered wellness collective in the North Dallas area. And so we have two pelvic floor physical therapists, a functional medicine provider, a functional nutritionist, a massage therapist, and we're looking at adding two additional service providers and therapies in the next few months.
Wow. And then you, as you were building out, I guess, your business, were you kind of an online presence before then, or has that kind of come as your business has grown and as you poured into your local community?
I think it was like mid chiropractic school that I was like, oh, like I'm learning a lot. My worldview is really changing. It's different than what I've always thought to be true. And I think I'm just going to share like what I'm learning. And I was in like an echo chamber, right? Like I'm in a classroom of like 80 people that are all learning the same thing. So as I'm sharing it on social media, they're like, yeah, whatever. We all know that to be true. But on social media, people were like, what? This is so different. And so it really like resonated with people. And I started, I graduated with like 10,000 followers. And so I definitely like started putting a lot of energy into it. I think a year before that I had like 2,000 followers. And so it just slowly picked up and has I've experienced abundance ever since.
Yeah. And the, that's funny what you're saying about being in an echo chamber of like the chiropractic school itself. Cause that truly would be, yeah, you're like, everyone thinks this way, right? Like everyone's thinking critically and looking at like whole health and whole body health. I remember Dr. Molly. So my friend and chiropractor here, how did you guys meet, by the way? Was it through a seminar or you didn't go to school?
We did go to school together. I think she's like a year younger than me. She might just be like a few months younger than me in like the program, but I'll have to send you, I have an old picture that her and I like took in the hallways together. Cause we always just really gravitated toward each other just in our style and like our beliefs within chiropractic, all of that.
That does not shock me at all. She's incredible. But, she had told me a story about how you guys were sitting in some, I guess like a classroom together and you were making your own like skincare products at the time, I think, or like household products. And she was like, okay, like tell me what I need to know as far as holistic living. Cause you seem like you were already doing that really like in your life. And then it just integrated into your online platform. And I'm actually really curious if you were raised like that. Did your mom raise you with a holistic alternative health lens?
I would say no, but like she does work for me now. And so whenever I talk about that, she's like, that's so invalidating. Like, here's all the things that I did, like, as your mother. And I'm like, oh, cause you know, as a kid, like you think it's very normal. And maybe I just view it in like, I don't want to say a negative lens, but I guess just more of my memories are like when we're in like club athletics and we're just doing a lot of fast food because our volleyball practices are from 8 to 10 PM. So like, when do you eat dinner? Like,
exactly.
That's just a lot of what I remember. But in the earlier years, my mom said that she cooked everything from scratch, was like making her own pasta. Like, my grandma is very much the same way up in Oregon. And so we were actually just there at my grandparents' property. They own a fully like self-sustainable farm on the side of a mountain in Oregon. Now they're in their 80s. And so they're not, it's not like fully functional anymore. But my mom was raised like slaughtering and butchering her own chickens and turkeys. And like, my grandma brought in a baby pig and woke her up with it the night that their pig had babies. And so they definitely lived that way. But also my grandma tells stories where she's like, I would plant seeds in the garden and those birds were watching and they would just swoop down and take those seeds. So I didn't know what to do. And I just decided I would dip the seeds in kerosene and those birds never took the seeds. And she goes, that is organic farming right there. And I was like, Grammy, I don't think kerosene is organic.
Do what you got to do. Apparently your grandparents are goals. Wow. And I love that your mom had that background. And so I guess with those being your roots, can you tell us like about your metabolic health journey as well? I would love to hear about that. I'm sure Fallon would too.
I really loved like, you know, getting, I don't know how I like got plugged in with you guys. I can't remember any like specific moment that was like, oh, Corey and Fallon. But I just feel like I stumbled upon you guys and I appreciated your messaging because it was giving me vocabulary and words to things that I intrinsically knew to be true. So throughout, it really was through my pregnancy journey. We struggled with fertility. I went through seasons of like cutting gluten, dairy, corn, soy, eggs, like all the things. And it's like, what are you eating? Like blueberries. That's it. You know, like I've gone through those seasons of restrictions and healing. And it's like when I got pregnant, the only thing I could stomach was cheese. Mm. And I spent like years and years being like, I don't need cheese. I really could not eat animal products and I would feel fine. And like, I just ate so much cheese. That's like all I could eat. Wow. And I was like, this is so weird, but I feel so great. And I just leaned into that. I'm very much like an intuitive person. And so even if that looks different than what the world says, and so I'm like, I'm going to eat this. So I was like, I was living these things and I started adding in and incorporating a lot of this. But then when I stumbled upon you guys, it gave me like the freedom and the vocabulary of like, oh, this is what I like knew to be true. And that's very similar with like my chiropractic journey. It's like, as a kid, I always knew that the body was self-healing and self-regulating. So like, I didn't pop my zits. I like did these weird things that drove people crazy. And then in chiropractic school, I learned the verbiage of like that there's an innate intelligence that flows within and controls and coordinates all functions. So that's, I feel very similar like that, you know, with you guys and understanding the metabolism. And the coolest thing that I've told you guys before, but I want to share with everyone is I had my blood drawn in March 2020 and my vitamin D level was 20. And I was like a few months postpartum at that point. I had my blood drawn again March 2021. And in January 2021, I'd started incorporating raw milk and my vitamin D level was 40.
Whoa.
Doubled. Whoa. And it's like same time of year, very similar vitamin D exposure, not as postpartum. So that could definitely play into it. But like, I'm like, it's the raw milk.
For sure. I was hoping you would share that story actually. And fun fact, Courtney and I get to go to the same raw milk pickup, which is special. Not that we like see each other a ton there, honestly, but I like the idea that we have been there at similar times. So let's shift to some like meat here. Can you describe the way that you would view our modern health culture right now? And then tell us your thoughts on this idea of authoritarianism with doctors, you know, this idea that they can't and shouldn't be questioned and we are just subject to their opinions no matter what. Would you give us your view of just kind of our current health culture right now?
I definitely love to talk about this from the lens of philosophy. And I think that's what makes chiropractic so cool. And really what makes us so different is that we take classes on chiropractic philosophy. So it's not just like, here's what you do. It's like, here's why we practice this way. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think people are like, why do most chiropractors not vaccinate their kids? And it's like, well, we understand like how the body works and why it works that way. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to our current healthcare system, it's definitely in what's considered a mechanistic model. So what that means is there's basically this continuum. And on this continuum, we've got on the left side here, mechanism, and on the right side here, vitalism. You can fall anywhere in between. When you're like all the way over on the left, you're probably what's considered dogmatic. And if you're all the way over on the right, you're probably considered also dogmatic. And it's not healthy to be dogmatic in either view. I can be a little dogmatic with vitalism, but you know, it's healthy to be in between. So mechanism can view the body and its parts. So it can see like you've got a heart and you've got a stomach, but like none of it doesn't, it's like you go to a different doctor for all of it. You go to a different doctor for your heart, you go to a different doctor for your stomach, and those doctors don't talk to each other. And why would they need to? Because those parts aren't connected or impact or affect each other. So just take this medication and you don't need to talk to this person because that medication doesn't impact that, right? We're all familiar with this model. We've walked it, or we've walked alongside friends and family and loved ones who have walked it. So then the philosophical view of vitalism agrees with mechanism, where we see the body and its parts. I see that heart, I see that stomach, I see all of that. But I also see this innate intelligence that flows within and controls and coordinates all functions. Mm. The mechanist literally cannot see that. So understanding this philosophy has given me so much grace for people that are more of like the mechanistic worldview, because the vitalist can see the body and more. And they're always like, mechanist, if you would just open your eyes, you could just see what I see. And you hear that terminology, right? Just open your eyes, just wake up. It's like, they cannot see it. They are shielded to it. And so that is pretty much like, in a nutshell, that's what our system is set up for. And so that's where I love and advocate for chiropractic, because we view the body and its parts and we just see how it all connects. And functional medicine is that way. Functional nutrition is that way. There's a lot of synergy in that worldview.
That is so well said. I actually just learned those two terms from Dr. Molly like 2 weeks ago. She was using them and I was like, what does that mean? And I Googled it and it was like all these chiropractic school resources that showed up, like describing the mechanistic versus vitalistic view. I just thought it was so beautiful. Really, people think this way without realizing there's like terms, you know, that like actually describe it. But man, that was so well painted for us. And do you feel like, I mean, just a follow-up question for that, because we've all been there where we're like in a conversation with somebody and we're like, I mean, like you just said, like, man, if they could just open their eyes or zoom out and look at the body as this, my goodness, like multifaceted whole body system, then we're good. But like, what do you even think it would take to get to that point? You know, it would require so much unlearning. And I feel like it's also just the idea of how our healthcare system is set up from the beginning. You had talked about like how there's a different person for each like part of the body. And I think a lot of people don't recognize the history of the healthcare system as well. And like, it used to be like literally at the turn of the 20th century with the leading causes of death, like you only went to like a doctor or like an expert, I guess, when you were like on the verge of death, right? And like you went in, let's say you had like pneumonia or something and you got that one solution for it. So now with chronic disease being so prominent and with our environment playing such a huge role, we can't like make that shift. A lot of us can't make that shift away from this like, oh, but isn't our doctor like going to give us that one answer that we need? And so I wonder if there's like a struggle in your like model of care and in your practice, do you find that it's a struggle to kind of like resonate with people that are coming from that view? I guess, how do you approach like the first step of like kind of unlearning that?
Yeah. So unlearning is really hard. And I just got to speak to like 100 chiropractic students on like their own unlearning, right? Cause you're in school and you have all these like thoughts of things that you believe to be true, whether that's about the human body or something else. And then you go into philosophy and they ask like, does a rock have universal intelligence? And you're like, what? a rock is alive? You're like, what? You know, and so you have to learn like these terms of like, I mean, trees grow taller and change colors and we do nothing, right? That is universal intelligence. And so it can sound very new agey of like, oh, the universe, but like truly there is this intelligence that God created within nature where it can do what it needs to do all on its own. We just need to get out of the way. Well, there's that same intelligence within. That's called our innate intelligence. And so I, through my own journey with all of that, have been definitely guilty of word vomiting. So hear me out. Like, I've done this wrong many, many times. I have, through doing it wrong, I feel like I've figured out a way to do it better. Mm. And that's just been through asking people questions, because if you just tell them what they need to know, if it goes against what they believe, they're often going to meet it with rejection and defensiveness. So they're not going to be open to hearing it. But if you ask people to tell you why they believe what they believe, you know, most people go through their life never actually understanding why they believe what they believe. Mm. No one ever asks them. So I just approach it from a genuine place of curiosity. I'm genuinely curious about who they are and why they think this way. And I'm not trying to prove them wrong or change their mind. I just hope that they understand themselves a little bit better. And if through that questioning process, they end up realizing, man, what is the truth here? And why did I think that fevers could cause brain damage? Like, where did that come from? Who ever told me that? You know, like, if they go through that process, then they might be actually open to unlearning and then relearning the real truth. So I had a mom in my office the other day who was like, you know, at 8 weeks, I'm probably going to switch to more of like scheduled feeds instead of feeding on demand. And I just said, okay, why are you wanting to do that? Well, my pediatrician said that after 8 weeks, I can switch to a schedule. And I was like, well, so I'm just not afraid to ask the hard questions. So I just asked her, I said, well, do you prefer to eat on a certain, like every 3 hours? Or do you just kind of, do you like feel that you're hungry and then give yourself food? And she was like, well, I kind of like to schedule my meals. And I was like, okay, you know, scheduling meals for your baby might work really well for your family. Mm. But it at least gave her the opportunity. So my goal wasn't to push feeding on demand. My goal was just to help her understand why she may want to schedule her baby's meals or not. You shouldn't just do it because your pediatrician told you to.
100%. And what I'm hearing echoing right now is putting the empowerment back into the mom's hands of being able to like step into her role as a mom and like, instead of just the, I guess, I mean, what Fallon was alluding to earlier, the authoritarianism view of like, oh, they said this, so I'm just going to do this, and like kind of disconnecting from what this means in our own body or our own lifestyle and our own balance. And so, yeah, that's just what I'm hearing echoing. I love that illustration. And I would love to hear, you know, with your practice, just what that has looked like with you kind of being in this quote unquote, like unconventional approach, you know, being outside of the typical healthcare system and you know, not taking insurance, but that being for a very intentional reason. I would love for you to dive into that.
So one of my favorite Chris Kresser quotes is insurance-based medicine is not evidence-based medicine. And this can like blow your mind, because it blew my mind anyways, because when you look at like, if you have pneumonia and they say, okay, insurance will cover these two medications to treat your pneumonia, then you actually go and research those two medications. The evidence does not support the use of those medications for the treatment of pneumonia. So it's like you're letting your insurance dictate your health, and they're not even your medical provider. So for us in our office, we made a very informed choice to not accept any insurance at all, because I do not want insurance dictating what I think is best for your body. They did not go to chiropractic school. They didn't go to medical school. So they truly don't know. They're not the ones even reading the research. They don't know what is best for your body. Now, within like a wellness model, like insurance is not for healthcare. It is for sick care. So I'm not like, oh, you don't need to have insurance. Like, insurance is for disaster and catastrophe. And I do think it's important to have, there are many different forms that might work. Some might work better for your family than others, but it's not to keep you healthy. It's not set up for things like chiropractic, for functional medicine, for functional nutrition. And so they're going to say, oh, hey, you chiropractor, we'll only pay for you to adjust this person 12 times this year. And I'm like, okay, so once a month, but as their chiropractor who has scans and assessments of their nervous system, I think that they actually need 100 adjustments this year. So now they don't care like what my like professional opinion is in that case. So we just went out the window with it altogether.
Let's continue this conversation of taking your health into your own hands. And it's really interesting. You know, I can look at my own journey and say that like finding sort of the truth about wellness and care and providers and this whole realm. I mean, it was a learned trait and one that was honestly sort of like forced on me. You probably know if you're listening, you know, my middle son's health really started spiraling shortly after he was born, and mine did as well. And at the time, no part of me questioned, you know, whether traditional medicine was, you know, in any way wrong or off base. It's just sort of what we did. And at some point I just started sorting through this idea that, okay, maybe there's a different answer. You know, maybe there's something else. And I wasn't always fully on board with what like our primary care physician told me either for my son or for myself. And so, you know, you guys know I got caught up in this whole realm of like food restriction for the longest time, but I lived like a normal American lifestyle for the first, I don't know, 20 plus years of my life, you know, grew up on an inhaler, eating lots of processed food. And it wasn't until my son had his medical injury and, you know, until I developed my autoimmune disease that I kind of stepped away from that traditional model. And I remember being told that my son's health issues like weren't related to food or his gut or any of that, and just did not feel validated by any of my care providers. And so it's been a really empowering journey to me to kind of land where we are now. And I'm curious for you, Dr. Courtney, has this ability to sift through information and dig out the truth sort of come naturally as you've pursued chiropractic school? Or do you feel like maybe it's a both and, has it been something that's come with time and wisdom? Or do you feel like, I mean, you kind of said when you were younger, you were sort of doing things a little bit counterculturally, you know, do you feel like you've always had this innate ability to decide your health choices for yourself? Or do you feel like it was chiropractic school that sort of launched you on this path?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, a little bit of both. Like, I do feel like I've always had kind of like that innate ability, and like, I feel like I've always had a really good intuitive muscle, and I've practiced it so much growing up. I wasn't necessarily raised in a home that, like, you know, we didn't really talk about the Holy Spirit a whole lot or any of that kind of stuff. I just always remember like going off of like these gut feelings. And so that, and then chiropractic definitely just like took that and ran with it. And I think what's been really cool, and I know you guys are on the same page with this as well, is like, I love research. I love reading the research, but I do not need research to prove to me how the human body works. So I think the greatest science of all is the science of normal human physiology. So no matter what the research says, I will always put it through that lens. So you guys know, like a few years ago, whenever the American Heart Association was like, coconut oil is bad for you. Like, it literally, it did not matter that they said that. That held no weight, because I was like, that just doesn't make sense to normal human physiology, that coconut oil would be bad and canola oil would be good. Makes no sense.
So I wonder how you approach somebody who is asking you, you know, like, hey, what about the medical research for X, Y, and Z? Like, how do you usually approach that question?
You know, I mean, science says like, oh, we only know like 1/20th of like the immune system. You know what I mean? So it's like, I'm like, yes, I don't ever discount it. Like, I think there are many reasons to like research and dig and look into things, but like, it just doesn't hold as much weight as what our society has it hold. But even then, like, there's at this, it's the information age, you know, like, there is research that can prove both things. So when you have research that says this is bad, and then you also have research that is equally as good that says this is good, then how do you know what is true and what to believe? And that's where I just think that as much more that you study about the human body, the more that you understand like the mechanisms of like what makes sense and what doesn't. So a great example for this, vitamin D. I know that it's now being called hormone D. I have been guilty of like ingesting oral vitamin D. I always knew all along, the research shows that vitamin D that is ingested vitamin D that's through the sun, through the skin, so UVA and UVB rays, lasts twice as long in the blood compared to orally ingested vitamin D. So we know that vitamin D performs better in the body through the sun. Mm. But I was still like supplementing because that's kind of what people say. And then now they're saying, oh no, vitamin D is actually, it's functioning more like a hormone. I'm like, oh, that makes sense when you look at the body. I've always known and always said as well that vitamin D has a receptor on every single immune cell within the body. It's a huge driver for the innate immune system. So why would it not function like the receptor sites for estrogen within the body, like for the hormones, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't think you need research to prove everything. I think like we do know, and the more that you study about the human body, the more that it makes sense what is true and what is not true, especially when you have data that can like literally like prove and deny the same exact thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, a follow-up to that would also just be like, what if research is quote unquote research is what I mean by research, is saying something that also innately feels wrong to you. Like you always had just like I love the co-sleeping and, bed sharing versus like sleep training conversation, because people are like, well, show me the research that putting your baby from day one in a separate room, letting them cry it out, has any harm to the child. I'm like, well, let's like take a step back. I feel like if we're already like, you know, prove this wrong, like we have to take a step back and ask a bigger question. And I wonder, like, for something like that, what does research quote unquote look like for you? If it feels like it is completely fighting your own instincts, your own biology, like how do you approach that?
I think decisions should only ever be made from a place of peace. So if you're receiving information that's conflicting with your own thoughts and views, like just don't take action until you have peace. And that's a conversation I have with a lot of families, is we're so used to having to make decisions from a place of fear. And there's really like rare true emergencies where decisions need to be made quickly, and there may not be like peace, or like there's a lot of fear and not a lot of peace, you know. But majority of the time you can just wait. Like I tell women who are like, my doctor wants to induce me on this date, and I'm like, okay, why? What are the medical reasons for induction? And there really aren't any. And they're like, I just don't want to get induced, but like, what do I do? What do I tell my doctor? I'm like, you could just not show up to your induction at the hospital. Oops, I overslept, you know, like, you know, I we just feel like we don't feel free. And I don't understand like where that comes from, because like, we're the ones who have to live with that. Like your doctor can induce you and it can put you into this cascade of intervention. And at the end of the day, they go home and sleep, and you're the one who has to recover and try to repair a breastfeeding relationship despite all the hormones that have been obliterated from your system. So yeah, I just tell.
No, go ahead. Finish that thought.
I just tell families, I want you to have peace and I want you to have freedom in all of your health decisions. And I think that comes from making informed decisions. And if it doesn't settle or feel right with you, then sit in the discomfort until you figure it out.
So beautiful. Mm-hmm. I think it also goes back to the authoritarianism talk, and not to like dive into, of course, a taboo topic, but like, the way that we're raised as children, if we are raised in a home where, you know, the authority in our lives or the parents in our lives were like, you do what I say, you can't ask questions about it, do what I say, not what I do, that kind of thing. Like if we're raised in that kind of a culture where like you fall in line, you cannot question. Yeah. Anything about the rules that we have in our house, like, of course we are going to view other experts that way. So like it's not necessarily like that it's so easy to tell people like, oh, just, you know, fire your doctor, or like, or just like ask them why. Like a lot of people feel kind of paralyzed in a moment where they're like, oh my gosh, I can't question authority. Like I can't question my doctor. And so I think if people are able to examine their own childhood story and bring it back to their own personal story, it gets so much easier and also just like attainable to understand, you know, how to move forward from life or in life from there. And I think what you're saying, Dr. Courtney, of just like coming from a place of peace and you can always wait on things is so profound. It's something that a lot of people don't give themselves permission to do. And I've been there. I've been in those shoes. So I'm only speaking from personal experience. And I think that the more that I was able to like flex the muscle that even Dr. Courtney was talking about earlier of like intuition and also just like, man, just really taking ownership over my body, because no one cares more about my health than I do, then you're able to step into that place. But that was just so well said. Thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. I think that's a really great connection that you just made, that, you know, we practice parenting, not an authoritarian style, more of the like respectful and I guess gentle, but we definitely still believe that discipline is biblical. So we have very consistent boundaries, but it makes sense, like what you're saying and how it can be hard for people. And also like that kind of model of like just giving time works really well in conflict resolution too. Not necessarily like, yes, within your, like your own marriage or something, like, hey, I need to take a second. That's okay. But also like when people send like really mean emails and it like stresses you out and you're like, I need to respond to this right away. I don't like the fact that they're mad at me. Right. Like you feel that, like, you can just give it time. Like you don't owe anyone a response immediately.
You have no idea how much Fallon and I resonate with that.
This is very relevant. This seems to be a theme in my life right now too. I actually love that this is coming up again. We had kind of been sorting through lately, like, do we want to move? Do we want to not move? And I had a really sweet, wise aunt who was like, you know what? My dad always told me, if you don't know what decision to make, just don't make one quite yet. You know, like if you don't feel like there's a very clear answer, and it's not, like you said, it's some sort of like life-threatening, immediate response required type scenario, then just sort of sit on it. And we have freedom to do that. And I'm curious, for those of us who are questioners and researchers, what kind of advice would you give to our listeners, and I mean to us, to really cautiously consider, like if we're using medical research as our only standard for information, what are some red flags? What are some things that we should consider if that's kind of our source of information?
You know, the biggest red flag is just the conflict of interest. And so it's so hard with the research these days. You can't take anything at face value. You constantly have to go and like copy the author's name, paste it into Google, see who they work for. Like, because there's just so, the conflict of interest is so thick and it's not apparent. Like even at the end of, so on PubMed, you'll see like the abstract, you'll see like their processes. And then at the bottom, it says conflict of interest. And it's like, author says none, you know, like they're reporting their own conflict of interest. They're not going to be like, author works for Coca-Cola and says that this is approved, you know, like you have to do your own due diligence on that. And so when things seem fishy in a research article, I'm like, like this just doesn't add up. This doesn't make sense to me. I just Google like the authors. I like do a big like search on who those people are. And I would say majority of the time you come across something that is like, okay, there's money involved somewhere. And this doesn't quite make sense. This doesn't quite add up. What's hard with this is like, you know, a lot of brands will do their own like internal research and you can immediately see like that's a clear conflict of interest, right? But they're, because we look for like third party, we're like, oh, we want third party research. What's hard with sites like PubMed, which I love, and like Google Scholar, I use those for sure, is it all appears to be third party. Mm. And you're the one who has to decipher whether or not it is, because those things are so covert. So that can be frustrating. That's another point why I'm like, I don't need the medical research to prove everything. Now, sometimes there is some compelling information and I love to share that, but it's not the end all be all.
Mm, that's so well said. Yeah. And I think that moral of the story is, if we're using it as our gold standard, do you feel like that's moving us further and further from our innate wisdom on just like how to live our lives?
For sure. It goes back to the philosophical approach of mechanism believes that healing comes from the outside in. Vitalism believes that healing comes from the inside out. So I just try to live that out even within my own decision-making process of like true healing comes from within. I don't need anything to like make my body healthier. Like it already has those processes within. How can I release anything that's preventing them from functioning as optimally as possible? And that's where I love chiropractic care. But then yeah, the other view is that healing comes from the outside in. So it's like information outside in instead of like Holy Spirit inside out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that the focus being back on the physiology, really like any resource that we share in our podcast. I know I get questions all the time of like, hey, where do I start with research? And I mean, really some of the, like the big names I can think of would be Dr. Ray Peet, Morley Robbins, Dr. Britta Barnes. These are people that really, really take a physiology first approach to like nutrition. Because nutrition is so dogmatic. Like this is like one of the big things that is so dogmatic. And so we love people that take a physiology approach first to food. Personally, that's why Dr. Ray Peet is like one of my favorite people, because he's such a critical thinker and he's been around for a very, very long time. And so he's been able to see like how the political climate has changed as far as nutrition guidelines. And he's just a great person to start with.
Also, just look at the information that's being shared. Like, is there potential for the information that's being shared to line someone's pockets? Mm. Like, I share a lot of information and people will be like, oh, that's so dangerous or whatever. And I'm like, the risk for me sharing that is like that I get reported to my board and that I have to like go testify in front of the medical board. You know what I mean? Like it's not like I'm going to line my own pockets because I told you need to get more vitamin D.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Vitamin D is like one of the biggest, honestly, like one of the biggest, is it the biggest supplement industry?
I could see that.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of whenever you had shared about, I think you had shared some information about like the IUD or something, and people were so angry that you were like spreading or like sharing dangerous information when you're like, how is it dangerous to like try to help people make a more informed decision? You know, like why is it dangerous for me to share information about the drug itself? Like how is that dangerous?
Literally every post I share about, I do get some feedback where people will say, like my most recent one was that your vision can actually improve. You might need to do therapy, but like the whole model of wearing glasses or contacts, going to the eye doctor, your eyes have gotten worse. You get another glasses or contacts prescription until they're so bad that the only option is LASIK. Like that's not healthcare. That is sick care. We've got you on this conveyor belt towards surgery, right? Mm-hmm. So like that you can actually heal your eyes and there are therapies for that. And that's just not well known. Oh, people in my inbox were like, this is so dangerous. Like if someone didn't wear their glasses while they were driving, they could literally have a car accident and that is on your hands.
You're like, did I say that?
And I'm like, I didn't tell people to just like go walk around blind out in the world. Like I told them that there is potential for them to work through healing their own eyes. And for some people, they might be able to just ditch glasses altogether and like cold turkey. For most people, that's not really the way the body works. So you might actually have to do some therapy.
Mm-hmm. I do love the way that you just have made it very clear on your platform that your duty is to the Lord and that you are standing before the Lord at the end of your life. And that is your driving motivation, is that you are like wanting to bring honor and glory to your Father. And I think that the conversation of pursuing wellness in light of following Jesus is such an important one. And to me personally, I think for all of us, you know, here today, like we would agree that they do go hand in hand. And I find a lot of beauty in a few things. So one, you know, that we do see in scripture that Jesus cares about the physical well-being of his flock. You know, we see him healing the sick, healing the lame. And then two, I think there's something so incredible about finding healing through something like whole food that is a direct gift from God. And, you know, like you were talking about, Dr. Courtney, just finding this sort of innate internal healing, because we are created in the image of our Creator. And the third thing I think is so beautiful is just that honoring our bodies can be God glorifying and gives us the ability to be prepared to pour out to those around us and have the energy for that and the capability to do that. And I'm curious, Dr. Courtney, for you, how do you feel like you've been able to reconnect to your God-given intuition and wisdom through this journey? And what does it look like to really commingle your pursuit of the Lord in your practice?
You know, I feel like there's such a difference between like physical rest and spiritual rest. Mm-hmm. This is something I like to talk about a lot, because the world will tell you and show you that in order for you to have rest, you need to sleep in, you need to go get a massage, you need to go get a pedicure. But like, and you can do those things, but then afterwards you're kind of like still empty, right? Like you're like, maybe it filled your cup like a little bit and you're like, okay, I'm good for a little, but like, it's not, it doesn't give you the fulfillment that I think like your soul craves. And so that's where I love to talk about spiritual rest, in that actually like one of the best things that I do that helps prepare me to like serve 250 people is spend time, quiet time, in God's word every morning. And I have to be very disciplined about it. I'm like up at 4:30, but having that quiet time, I have a significant increase in capacity for my daughter, for my husband, and for all the people that I serve and support, and for my own teams. And so that gives you like spiritual rest, like time spent with God. And that is something that within our practice we bring of like, we pray over everyone. We pray as a team before we start every day and every meeting. The pelvic floor physical therapist, there are certain things that she does or will not do just based off of the nature of her work. So like she, for example, she won't do any like anal work because there is a sphincter within the anus that literally, it's called a wink. So if you touch it, it'll close. And that's like a way that our normal human physiology says nothing's supposed to enter into this orifice. So, I mean, like God's word literally like flows through and infiltrates like all of our walls and all of our practices, and changes how each one of the providers there serves our people. The functional medicine provider at our office, he's one of the only functional medicine providers I've been to that has asked if I practice a Sabbath or if I rest, asked if I am in community and if I have confession opportunities. Like those things are important. There have been physical changes from people who have been chronic liars, who have lied, and the way that it's had their eyes sunken in and their face not filled with life. And then they confess and they stop lying. And literally 2 months later, it's like they have life in their eyes. Their eyes are no longer sunken in. Their skin is different colors. So like that's part of our health too. And I would say that that is like first and foremost for our people. And then, you know, we pray to be vessels for God's healing as well. And so we lay hands on people and pray that we're able to clear anything that's preventing their body from doing exactly what God has called and created it to do.
That's absolutely beautiful, because the body, mind, spirit, a whole connection. I feel like there's always this pursuit of like one or the other, or two, but not the third. And like, this is just such a beautiful, it's so synergistic and a beautiful picture of how everything works together and how much our spirit like weighs on our physical body. And that's just so, so profound. I know that, Josh and Jeannie Rubin, who we have on our next episode coming out, they talk about the fact that you can literally be sitting there, like you can be sitting down and doing something restful, like you talked about, like going and getting a massage. But if you have an unrest in your mind, like there's nothing restful about sitting there and doing that. That's like supposed to be under the guise of, you know, self-care or whatever, but you just end up again, just so empty. So that was just so beautiful. And, wrapping this up, I would love to ask, just to like wrap up the whole episode, what you feel like is key to becoming an expert on your own health, your own body, your own spirit, like how to move forward. Just really taking charge of not only your health, but your family's health as well.
I definitely think we love to like prioritize and have like a hierarchy. So we love to do things in the order of least invasive to most invasive. And when it comes to just like being your own expert, which is like, that's my mission, you know, to like, for you to be your own health advocate, it comes with like understanding how God created your body more. So that starts with understanding the creator, and then understanding like the normal anatomy and human physiology. And so literally just open like an anatomy and physiology textbook, you know, like it doesn't have to be anything fancy. There are probably really cooler ways to learn those things than what I did through school, but just learning more of the human physiology. And then in each decision that you're having to make, just making sure that you're making an informed one, which means you're studying both sides of the options. So I tell people a lot of times when it comes to like the vaccine topic, are you guys okay if I say that word?
Oh, of course.
Okay. I didn't know if it would like put red flags on this.
We'll
but,
see.
But it's probably but keep going by now.
Yeah. But with that topic, it's like I tell families, there is risk either way. So which risk can you accept and which risk do you have peace with? For me and my family, I have more peace choosing not to do anything and that my child may get something and we will treat it and deal with it then, versus choosing to do something and having an adverse reaction. And then my child then has to live with something for the rest of their life due to my decision that I made for their health. I have a hard time with that. And I just feel so deeply for the families who have walked in those shoes. So I just approach all, whether it's vaccines or not, like I just approach all topics with that in mind of like, there is risk either way. So which risk do you have peace with?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love that. That was great. Dr. Courtney, it's been such an honor to have you on today. Thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule. And to wrap up, I just want to brag on you a bit because I just really love that through your office, through events that you put on, which are always spectacular. I mean, event planning is like such a skill of yours. And I love the community and belonging that you have intentionally created through our Well House. I have to laugh. I've actually met a handful of people through events that you've put on that I'm friends with now, like close friends with, that I've met at our Well House. And I think it's just so beautiful that you are pursuing the work that the Lord has called you to, speaking truth in the name of a lot of a lot of opposition sometimes, and that you are just pursuing the Lord, preaching the gospel, preaching health and wellness. I just love that. So thank you so much for being on with us today. It was such a gift to talk to you.
Thank you guys so much. I feel so honored to be here and I just love y'all and am cheering y'all on always.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you guys in the next episode.